to show you some scripture this morning that tells us some things kind of specific, and by that, you can get some pretty good ideas about how things were going. But let me tell you this, or remind you of this. You know, when Mary, we've been studying about this on Thursday night, Mary was a young girl in the community who had a baby that was not by her husband. And I got an idea the community never let her forget that. The angel came to her and told her that she was with child, and it would be a person who would save his people. That's what she got. That it was by the Holy Spirit, and he would save his people. Well, that's what she was told. And it said she pondered all this stuff. She thought about all this stuff, trying to figure out what's going on here. And she had a husband who was led by God and told by the angel not to put her away, that she was with child by the Holy Spirit. And he was a man enough not to have her stoned, but he moved her where everybody wouldn't know about it and poke fun at her. But at that point, all Mary knew was that it was a child that was by the Holy Spirit and he would save his people. Joseph was told to name him Jesus. That's what he was told. So then, the shepherds came, and they were told, and I'm sure they told Mary and Joseph, that they were told by the angels that a Savior was being born that would be Christ the Lord. So when they came to visit him, I'm sure they told, the angel said this. Well, then they went to have the child christened, and Hezekiah and the lady there at the church, they had something to put in that they'd been waiting on him. And it says again, Mary pondered this in her heart. She didn't know all the stuff that we know. And then when the three wise, or the magi came, how many there ever were of them, almost a year and a half to 2 years later, they came looking for the king. And they told him, he's going to be a... What, they said, what are you doing here? We're looking for the king of the Jews. So now Mary had a little bit more information. He was going to be the Savior. He was by the Holy Spirit. And he was going to be the king of the Jews. And it said again that she pondered this stuff in her heart. So the next thing then that is said about Mary is in Luke chapter 2. Jesus is 12 years old. And let's read starting at verse 41 in chapter 2 of Luke. Now, Jesus' parents went to Jerusalem every year to the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem after the custom of the feast. And when they had fulfilled the days, as they returned, the child Jesus tarried behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother knew not of it. So at 12 years old, Joseph's still there. Okay? Something I wondered about. But they, supposing him to have been in the company, went a day's journey, and they sought him among their kinfolks and acquaintances. And when they found him not, they turned back again to Jerusalem, seeking him. Now think about this. Judy lost Becky one time for about 5 minutes on that excursion train that goes up through here and like had a heart attack. Somehow or another, Mary and Joseph, assuming he was in the crowd because they had all the kin folks and neighbors there, just assumed he was there, and they went a day, and he wasn't there. And it came to pass that after 3 days they found him in the temple, sitting in the midst of the teachers, both hearing them and asking them questions. Can you imagine what kind of shape Mary was in about this time? She's already missed him 4 days now. Didn't know where he was. And he's 12 years old. Now, at this point in time, about all Mary could have known, if based on what the book says, is this was a special child. That's about it. And all that heard him were amazed at his understanding and his answers. And when they saw him, they were astonished. And his mother said unto him, now is this not typical mother fashion? Son, why hast thou dealt with us? You know what she said? Boy, why did you do this to me? Why did you do this? Didn't you know how upset we would be? You could have said something. Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. And he said unto them, how is it that ye sought me? In other words, why are you looking for me? Knew you not that I must be about my father's business? Now, I don't know how much he talked about that situation he was in. This is the first time it mentions it in the book. But all of a sudden, that special part of that child is beginning to show. Something's going on here. And they understood not the saying which he spoke unto them. They didn't know what was going on. They didn't have a clue. So they didn't know exactly at that point just who he was. So if you flip over to John chapter 2, we move to the next thing that is said about Jesus. Now he's grown, he's 30, he started his ministry. And they're at the wedding at Cana. He and his disciples were invited there to that wedding along with his mother and his brothers, his family. And the third day there was a marriage in Cana, verse 1, chapter 2 of John, of Galilee, and the mother of Jesus was there. And both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. And when they lacked wine, the mother of Jesus said unto him, they have no wine. Probably, maybe kin folks, but at any rate, probably if you know the way a mama thinks, she was embarrassed for him because they'd run out of wine. So Jesus saith unto her, woman, what have I to do with thee? Mine hour is not yet come. And the way it's translated in the Scofield, it says, ma'am, that concerns you, not me. My hour has not yet come. In other words, it's not time for me yet to show the powers that I'm going to have. It's not time for me yet to do miracles. How does his mother take this? What does she say? His mother saith unto the servants. She didn't say anything to him. She went to the servants. And she said, whatever he tells you to do, you do it. Whatever he saith for you to do, you do it. Makes rabbits run across my grave. How did she know he could do anything? I don't have an idea he's done any miracles, but she's beginning to see some things, and she knew he could take care of it. And he did. The servants drew, he told the servants to draw water. They did, and he changed it into wine. It was the best they had that day. Then a neat thing. Never seen it, never noticed this before. Down in verse 12. They left the wedding and went down to Capernaum, he and his mother and his brethren and his disciples, and they continued there not many days. They went off down to Capernaum and had a visit. Didn't last too long, but it was the disciples and his mother and his family. And back in Luke chapter 8, there was a time that Jesus was preaching. He's already out on his ministry. He's out preaching to a crowd, and the crowd was so thick around him that somebody came to him and told him his mama and his brothers were there to see him. And Luke chapter 8 and verse 19, then came to him his mother and his brethren and could not come to him because of the crowd. And it was told him by certain who said, thy mother and thy brethren stand outside desiring to see thee. And he answered and said unto them, my mother and my brethren are these who hear the word of God and do it. Wonder how his mother took that. Here he is getting to be a pretty famous preacher. And people are just thronging to see him. And his mother and his brethren, if you will, kind of show up backstage and they can't get to it. And somebody tells him they're back there and would like to see him. And his answer was, the people who hear me and do what I tell them to are my family. Jesus is beginning to establish, to put back his earthly family and to start up his new relationship with the church. And he wants his mother and them to understand that this has been an era of my life and now I've got to move on to another. I don't think he would have offended her. I don't think he did. But can you imagine that it was hard for her to take? Because there were a lot of people around heard what he said. There's a little bit lengthier thing. It's listed. This incident is listed three times in Scripture. And it's a little bit lengthier in other places. But essentially, it never does say that he went to see him. And I'm beginning to wonder, you know, if she thought, well, maybe being the mother of this special child is not going to be so handy. In John chapter 6 and verse 42, he was at a place preaching, and some of the people said, there is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? So you see, Joseph is still there somewhere. Now there's been some conjecture, and it would certainly be feasible for Mary, who was 13, 14 year old at the time that she was betrothed to Joseph. He could have been 35, 40, 45 years old. That was done a lot. And maybe by this time, you know, 30 years had passed, maybe he wasn't in the greatest shape to go round to visit him and all, and the brothers carried their mother to see their brother. In John chapter 7, And verse 1, his brothers tried to get him to leave Galilee and go to Judea, but he wouldn't go. And it said in that context in verse 5 that his brothers didn't believe him. Now the brothers are trying to convince him to leave where he is ministering and go to another place to minister. But they didn't believe he was the Messiah. And he wasn't going to Judea, it said. In Matthew chapter 13, and verse 53. There is another count here. And I've often wondered. I'm further along now than I was. There's been all kind of conjecture about Mary never having another child after Jesus and all this stuff. I don't believe that. I believe that the one they called his brothers were full brothers. I believe that. And it says in Matthew chapter 13 and verse 53, "And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed from there. And when he was coming to his own country," he's coming back toward his hometown, "he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished and said, 'From where has this man this wisdom and these mighty works?'" They're listening to him in his hometown teaching the church in the synagogue, and they're saying, "Where did he get this? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas?" So now we know he's got four brothers. We knew he had James because he was the head of the council at Jerusalem and he wrote the book of James. And now we know that he had one named Joseph and one Simon and one named Judas. So there's five boys in all in that family. "And his sisters, are they not all with us?" I don't know how many sisters it was, it doesn't say. But he had sisters too. "From where then hath this man all these things?" So what they're trying to say is, we knew him. We watched him grow up. We know his mama. We know his daddy. We know his brothers. We know his sisters. And here he is in the synagogue teaching and saying that he's come down from heaven. And it said they were offended. They stumbled by that. He upset them and they couldn't figure out what was going on. That was on his last trip to Nazareth. Then in John chapter 19 and verse 25, we've come to the next place that it talks about Jesus' mother. And you know, I've read all the accounts. John seemed to be the one that was the most spiritual. It was quite obvious that John, the disciple, was Jesus' favorite. It says that over and over again. And now we're at the cross. I don't know where Mary was when he was in the court, when he was being scourged, when they were making fun of him and spitting on him and beating him and pressing the crown of thorns on his head. I don't know where she was when he went down the Via Dolorosa with the cross on his back. And Cyrene, the Cyrene sign, carried it for him. I don't know where she was, it doesn't say. But here at the cross, in John chapter 19 and verse 25, "Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene." There were three Marys there at the cross watching what was going on. And Jesus is hanging on the cross suffering. And she's standing right there close enough to where he can talk to her. "When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by," that was John, "whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, 'Woman, behold thy son.'" He told his mother, "I'm dying. This is your son now. He'll look after you." "Then said he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. Now, church history says, you know, as things kind of begin to get on, we had people like Josephus and others that wrote a lot of history about that time in about these things, and how once he got to be known and people got interested in him and wanted to write it down. And history says that John took Mary to Ephesus and built a house there, and she lived with him there until she died, and she's still buried at Ephesus. They say you can go and see the tomb that is supposed to be her tomb. I don't know. But here now we have Mary, who at this time is probably somewhere around 43, 44, 45 years old. She's got five boys and some girls, and has seen her oldest son, the one that was special, hanging on the cross, die. I wonder at this point whether she was like his brothers and didn't know what to think about it and still didn't believe on him, because they didn't believe on him. His own flesh and blood brothers didn't believe on him there at the cross. And then if you'll flip over to Acts chapter 1. The next time that Mary is listed chronologically, the next happening, Jesus has been crucified. He has been resurrected. He has come back to the earth. He has met and talked with his disciples. And he's on the mount. He says in verse 8 of chapter 1, "But ye shall receive power after the Holy Spirit is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." And when he had spoken these things, verse 9, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. Jesus floated up into the clouds and disappeared in the clouds. And while they looked steadfastly toward the heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white clothes, who also said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus who is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven." In verse 12, "Then returned they unto Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is from Jerusalem a Sabbath day's journey," which can't be very far, because they wouldn't let you walk very far on the Sabbath, or they called it work. "And when they were come in, they went up into an upper room where abode Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James the son of Alphaeus." They called him James the Lesser because he was shorter than the other James. "And Simon the Zealot and Judas, the son of James." All the disciples were there except for Judas Iscariot. He had already hung himself. Verse 14. "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren." So here they are. Jesus has been resurrected. He's come back to earth. He's met with the disciples again. He has gone up into heaven. And they all went to the place that the disciples were staying in Jerusalem, along with his mother and his brothers. I don't know about his sisters, it doesn't say. And they all stayed there for a while. So I see now that Mary and the other boys intermittently spent a good bit of time with Jesus and his disciples. They knew them all. They were keeping up with his ministry. They know what was being said. The brothers, I imagine they were kind of like brothers are now. They didn't think enough of him to believe on him until Pentecost. But I imagine they're a little bit more coarse-hearted than Mary was. And here is Mary. She has lost her oldest. She has lost her special one. And I don't know what it did to her. But it must have been very, very hard for her to take. I am not a woman, and I am not a mother. So I can't begin to tell you how she thought. But I have been told that losing a child is absolutely the hardest thing a parent ever has to deal with. I don't think probably until later on when John started explaining things after Pentecost, after all those people were saved, and on into the ministry when missionaries started going out from Jerusalem all over the country starting churches. I think probably, I don't know how long she lived, but I think probably that she had a pretty good idea about what Jesus was all about before she died. I would like to think that she did. We have the advantage of being able to study all the different accounts and know everything that went on. And she didn't. But she was right there. And it was her child. And I got an idea that if he didn't sin, if he never sinned, that means he never sashed his mama. He never talked back. He never disappointed her. He never mistreated her. It says he was the meekest of men, so he must have been very, very kind and gentle. A woman appreciates those things. I know that. An interesting little note that, for those that may be curious, you know, Jesus is the only one that ever walked the earth as a man without the old sin nature. You know that. And he's the only one that ever walked the earth without an earthly father. I got an idea, y'all, that our old sin nature comes to us down through our fathers. Not through our mothers, but through our fathers. Don't know what happened to Joseph. I know he was around a lot longer than I supposed that he probably was, but I got an idea probably he was old and he couldn't go the places Mary went because it doesn't mention him that much. But there's evidence later on that all of Jesus' brothers got to be born again Christians. And they believed on him and knew who he was and believed that he was the Messiah. So, you know, it's an interesting thing. You as mothers, you have great joys. You have great blessings. You have times when you just are so happy you tear up, and you have sorrows, and your kids give them to you a lot of times. And you have to deal with that. And I think, like it says in the Bible, there's something that I've come to really, really think about and respect that little turn, and she pondered it in her heart. Didn't say anything about it much. If she was a godly woman, my Bible says that she had a meek and a quiet spirit. She didn't say a lot. A lot went on in her life. A lot of good things and a lot of bad things. And for the most part, she would take what she had been dealt with and sit and think about it a lot. Paul said that he had learned, sometimes he was up, sometimes he was down, and wherever he was, he had learned to be content with it. And I got an idea maybe she had learned to do that also. I think as mothers, I'm not one, but I think as mothers we could learn a lot from her and the things she had to deal with. So today, I thank the Lord for Christian mothers. I thank the Lord today that I had one. And throw a little something in. I thank the Lord for a guy that's sitting in here that carried my mother to Bible studies at Southeastern Bible College. My mother was raised very, very religiously, and nobody would have guessed that she might not have been a born-again believer, but I'm convinced that she wasn't born again until she started riding to Birmingham with Jimmy Thrasher. And I thank him for that. He would carry a group of ladies up there every week. And she started changing and I started seeing it. She was very religious up to that time, but I doubt very seriously that she was saved, because until then she didn't have any discernment about who might be saved or who might not be. Interesting thing, she came back one day and I went down to see her about something when she was living in the trailer behind my house, and she was sitting there at the table crying. And I said, "What's the problem?" She had always told me about a lady in town that was real old that had been her Sunday school teacher when she was a little bitty girl, and what a great lady she was and how much time she had spent teaching all those kids. And she said, she's 91 or so, something like that. And she said, she's on her deathbed, Joe. And I just went up there to visit her before she died. And I have this fear that she's not born again. And I don't think she ever noticed that until then. And you know, I've learned something. If you're not born again, it's hard for you to tell whether somebody else is or not. And I think she had assumed up until that time that anybody who was really religious was a Christian. So, I'm grateful to God today to know, and I have no doubt whatsoever, that my mother was a born-again believer when she died. And so today I thank God for all Christian mothers. I honestly don't know how we would ever get along without them. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the significance of this day. We thank you, Lord, for our Christian mothers. We thank you for all our mothers, Lord, and we pray that maybe some way that those who don't know you might come to know you. We pray, as you told us to, that you, as the Lord of the harvest, would send out workers to save these folks. Lord, give us a heart for people that don't know you, and give us the grace that we might share and witness to them your love toward us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.